بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 37th hadith from this blessed compilation, Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. And the author said, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه تبارك وتعالى أنه قال. Upon the authority of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from that which he narrates from his Lord تبارك وتعالى, that he said, إن الله كتب الحسنات والسيئات ثم بين ذلك. Verily, Allah wrote the good deeds and the bad deeds, and then He explained them. فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. Whoever was determined to do a good deed, and then he didn't do the good deed, Allah wrote for him a complete good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى سَبْعِ مِئَةِ ضِعْفٍ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. And whoever was determined to do a good action, and then he did the good action, Allah writes for him 10 good deeds to 700 good deeds to many multiples above this. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. And whoever was determined to do a bad action, and then he did not do it, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً, then Allah writes for him one good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا. And if he was determined to do a bad action, and then did the bad action, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدَةً, then Allah only writes for him one bad deed. رواه البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما بهذه الحروف. So this hadith, as normal, will be explained in four parts. Firstly, a brief biography of the narrator of the hadith. Secondly, the general theme and the general meaning behind the hadith. Thirdly, a detailed explanation of the hadith. And fourthly, a mention of some of the benefits that the ulama have deduced from this hadith. So with regards to the narrator, he is the virtuous companion Abdullah ibn al-Abbas ibn Abi Talib. Afwan, he is Abdullah ibn al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim al-Qurashi. So he's Hashimi Qurashi, and he was a famous virtuous companion. And he's also the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Al-Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet from his father's side. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that between both of them was a very large age gap. And the kunya of Abdullah ibn Abbas is Abu al-Abbas. And also, he was the oldest son. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, in Islam, he is known as Al-Bahr. And he is known as Al-Hibr. And he is known as Tarjaman al-Qur'an. And all of these names, they symbolize the great depth of knowledge which this virtuous companion had. And in previous lessons, we spoke about aspects from the life of this companion. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Ibn Abbas, he was still young. In fact, he was only 15 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And despite this young age, he was somebody who had a great status and a great position amongst the Khulafa. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would consult him and held him in high regard, even though he was only 15 years old. And Umar radiallahu anhu, similar, would consult him and give his statement precedence over many of the other older Sahaba. And Uthman radiallahu anhu brought him very close to him. And when he would send the people for Hajj, then he would make Ibn Abbas as the Imam or the Amir. And also Ali radiallahu anhu, he made Ibn Abbas the Amir over Basra, because of how his knowledge was and how close he was to following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was from the younger companions, and yet he was from the scholars of the companions. When the Prophet died, he was only 15 years old, and yet his knowledge, it raised his status. And the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, they have many statements of praise regarding Abdullah ibn Abbas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, and he's from one of the 10 who were promised the glad tiding of Jannah in his life. He said, "Ma ra'aytu ahadan ahdara fahman." He said, "I did not see anybody who was more well versed and deeper understanding than Ibn Abbas. Wala akbara lubban." And I did not see anybody who had a greater intelligence than Ibn Abbas. Wala akthara ilman. And nobody with a greater depth of knowledge. Wala awsa'a hilman. And nobody who was more tolerant than Ibn Abbas. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ عُمَرَ يَدْعُوهُ وَحَوْلَهُ أَهْلُ بَدْرٍ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Verily, I saw Umar, and he would call Ibn Abbas, and yet around him were the senior companions of the Muhajirin and the Ansar, those who fought in the battle of Badr. فَيَتَحَدَّثُ Ibn Abbas. And so it would be Ibn Abbas who would be speaking. وَلَا يُجَاوِزْ عُمَرْ قَوْلَهُ. And Umar radiallahu anhu would not exceed the statement of Ibn Abbas. Even though Umar is who Umar was, and Ibn Abbas was young, only 15 years old. And Ibn Umar said, Ibn Abbas, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Ibn Abbas is the most knowledgeable of that which was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-A'mash from the Tabi'een, he said, كان ابن Abbas, إذا رأيته قلت. He said, Ibn Abbas, if I saw him, I would say, أجمل الناس, that he was the most beautiful and handsome of people. وإذا تكلم قلت, and if I heard him speak, I would say, أفصح الناس, the most eloquent of people. وإذا حدث قلت, and if he narrated knowledge, I would say, أعلم الناس, that he was the most knowledgeable of the people. Mujahid, and he was also from the Tabi'een, from the Mufassireen, he said, كنت إذا رأيت ابن عباس يفسر القرآن أبصرت على وجهه نورا. He said, if I saw Ibn Abbas and he was making tafsir of the Quran, he was teaching the Quran or explaining the Quran, I would see upon his face nur, light. So there was a great deal of respect for Ibn Abbas. And I mention a story here between Ibn Abbas and Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. And no doubt Zayd ibn Thabit, he was older in age and also greater in status and also knowledge than Ibn Abbas. And I mention this story to show you how elders should be respected and how scholars and ulama and ahlul ilm should be respected. Ibn Abbas, he was walking and he saw Zayd ibn Thabit, who was riding a beast, a donkey or a camel. So Ibn Abbas came and he took hold of the reins of the animal. And then he started walking with the animal, leading the animal. So Ibn Abbas is walking and Zayd ibn Thabit is riding on the animal. Up until Zayd said to him, Tanaha yabni he said, Tanaha yabna ammi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, leave the reins, O cousin of the Prophet, meaning O Ibn Abbas. Leave the reins. And of course, Ibn Abbas is doing this as a form of modesty and humbleness and a show of respect. And Zayd ibn Thabit is older and also from the Hufad of the Quran and the Kutab of the Quran. So Zayd said to him, leave the reins. Don't walk like this below me. And Ibn Abbas said, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا وَكُبَرَائِنَا. That this is how we were taught to respect our scholars and our elders. So then Zayd said to him, أَرِنِي يَدَكَ. Show me your hand. فَأَخْرَجَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ يَدَهُ. So then Ibn Abbas, he showed him his hand. فَقَبَّلَهَا زَيْد. So then Zayd kissed the hand of Ibn Abbas. He said, وَهَاكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, and this is how we have been taught to respect the family of the household of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Zayd ibn Thabit رضي الله عنه, he died before Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas was much younger. And when Zayd ibn Thabit died, Ibn Abbas said, هَكَذَا يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمِ. That this is how knowledge goes. Meaning with the death of the ulama. هَكَذَا ذِهَابُ الْعِلْمِ. This is the disappearance of knowledge. لَقَدْ دُفِنَ الْيَوْمَ عِلْمٌ كَثِيرٌ. That as Zayd is being buried, then also great amount of knowledge is being buried. And as I mentioned, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Ibn Abbas, he was only 15 years old. And he narrated 1,660 hadith. And he died, Ibn Abbas, 68 Hijri in At-Ta'if. Ibn Abbas, he chose to live, and finally he died in At-Ta'if. And as for this hadith which we are covering today, this is a blessed, noble hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is a hadithun qudsi, in which there is a mention of the generosity and the kindness and the virtue of Allah upon His people. And that is that this hadith explains, not only is it the action of a person which is rewarded, but even the intention of a person, it holds a great reward. So whoever had an intention to do a good deed, only an intention, but then he didn't do it, the mercy of Allah is such that he still writes for the person as if he did the good deed. And if a person had an intention and a determination to do an evil action, and then he didn't do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him a good deed. Even though his intention was to do something evil, but then he didn't do it, Allah writes for him a good deed. And if a person had the intention to do an evil action and then did the evil action, then Allah writes for him only one bad deed. And if a person had the intention to do a good action and then did a good action, then Allah multiplies the good action by 10 and gives him 10 good deeds as a baseline. And then on top of this, Allah multiplies it even more to 700 times, and then even more than 700 times. And this is the great kindness of Allah upon His people. That the actions, the good actions which you do, Allah multiplies. The good intention which you have, even if you didn't do it, Allah still writes for you a good deed. The evil intention which you had and you didn't do it, a good deed is written for you. And an evil action which you did, it isn't multiplied. Only one bad deed is written against a person. And then on top of that, Allah is Al-Ghafoor, He forgives. And He is Ar-Rahim, He is merciful. And He is Al-Wadood, loving. and he is at-tawwab, accepting of a person's at-tawbah. And this same hadith has been narrated with different wordings. So this same hadith has also been narrated by Abu Huraira, in which the Prophet said that Allah said, إِذَا أَرَادَ عَبْدِي أَنْ يَعْمَلَ سَيِّئَةً, that if my person wants to do an evil action, فَلَا تَكْتُبُوهَا عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَعْمَلَهَا, then Allah says to the angels, don't write anything against this person until he does the action. فَإِنْ عَمِلَهَا, so if he did do the action, فَكْتُبُوهَا بِمِثْلِهَا, then write it only one, according to the one bad deed which the person did. وَإِنْ تَرَكَهَا مِنْ أَجْلِي, and if this person left the bad deed for my sake, فَكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ حَسَنَةً, then write a good deed for him. وَإِنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ حَسَنَةً, and if this person wanted to do a good action, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلَهَا, however he didn't do the good action, فَكْتُبُوهَا لَهَا حَسَنَةً, فَكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ حَسَنًا, then write for him one good deed. فَإِنْ عَمِلَهَا, and if he did do the good action, فَكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى سَبْعِمِئَةِ ضِعْف, then write for him 10 good deeds up to 700 good deeds. And this is also in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Also, this hadith, from one of the general themes of this hadith is that the virtue of Allah and the kindness of Allah is so much that had it not been for His kindness, nobody would enter into Jannah. Because our thoughts and our bad thoughts are so much, and our desires lead us to wanting to do bad deeds. And also, how many times do we intend to do a good deed and we don't do it? And how many sins do we have which are much greater than the good deeds which we do? So if Allah was to treat us with His justice, then nobody would enter into Jannah, because there would be no reward for a mere good intention. Just like there is no punishment for a bad intention. And He would reward us one for every good action we do, and He would reward us one, and He would punish us one for every evil that we do. But the kindness of Allah is such that the evil intention, there is no punishment. And if you leave it for the sake of Allah, there is a good deed. And the good intention which you don't do, there is still a good deed. The evil action which you do is only one bad deed. The good action which you do is multiplied by 10 and then multiplied by 700. And this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, this is a hadith Qudsi, because the narrator said that he narrated from the Prophet, فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ, according to what the Prophet narrated from his Lord, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And what is Hadith Qudsi? It is كُلُّ مَا رَوَاهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ رَبِّهِ وَلَيْسَ مِنِ الْقُرْآنِ. Everything which the Prophet narrated from his Lord, and it is not counted as being from the Qur'an. Or some of the ulama said, مَا أُضِيفَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَسْنَدَهُ إِلَى رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That which has been attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but then he attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the opposite of hadith Qudsi is hadith Nabawi. And al-hadith al-Nabawi, مَا رَوَاهُ الصَّحَابِ عَنِ النَّبِي وَأَسْنَدَ إِلَيْهِ, that which the companion narrated from the Prophet and he attributes it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith al-Qudsi is the wording and the meaning from Allah or not. Ibn Uthaymeen, he said that the hadith Qudsi, the meaning is from Allah, however the wording is the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as opposed to the Quran, in which the meaning and the wording is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for al-hadith al-nabawi, then the meaning and the wording is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever wants further clarification on the rulings with regards to al-hadith al-qudsi, then refer back to the 24th hadith which we explained. The hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, in which the Prophet narrated that Allah said, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ ظُلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُ. In this hadith we went into detail about the differences between al-hadith al-Nabawi and al-hadith al-Qudsi and the Qur'an. So in this blessed hadith, the Prophet said that Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ. That Allah wrote the good deeds and the bad deeds and then He explained it. Meaning Allah legislated the reward for the good deeds. And Allah legislated the punishment for the bad deeds. And then He clarified it even further. And also from our aqeedah is that not only did Allah legislate the good deeds and the bad deeds, but He also decrees who will do the good action and who will do the bad actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created people and He also created the actions of the people. And this is the belief of the Salaf. And then the Prophet said that Allah says, فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. So whoever had a ham to do a good deed, but he didn't do the good deed. كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. Allah records it with him that he has one good reward, one good deed. And what is the meaning of alham? Because sometimes in the English translation, it says whoever intended to do a good deed, or whoever had a thought to do a good deed. And the word which is used here is ham. And Ibn Rajab, he explained alham. He said, it is al-azm al-musammim. It is a firm determination. So, when the Prophet said, man hamma bihasanatin, that whoever had a ham to do a good action, it doesn't mean that whoever had a mere intention or a mere thought. Rather, it means whoever had a firm intention, a determination to do the good action. الَّذِي يُوجَدُ مَعَهُ الْحِرْسُ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ. And this ham, along with it, is the, like I said, the determination to do the good action. لَا مُجَرَّدُ الْخَطْرَةَ الَّتِي تَخْطُرُ. Not merely a thought which comes to the mind of a person. And Abu Darda, he gave an example. He said, مَنْ أَتَى فِرَاشَهُ وَهُوَ يَنْوِي أَنْ يُصَلِّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. That whoever came to his bed to sleep, and then he made the intention to wake up at night to pray قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ. فَغَلَبَتْهُ عَيْنَهُ. So he has this intention, and he has this determination, but then he's overcome by sleep. حَتَّى يُصْبِحْ. Until the morning comes. كُتِبَ لَهُ مَا نَوَى. Then his intention is written for him. So it's like the example of a person who wants to wake up for Qiyam al-Layl. That's his intention now. That's his ham. So he goes to sleep early because he wants to wake up early. And he puts on his alarm because he wants to wake up early. And then maybe he tells his wife or his father, mother to wake him up early. So he has the determination and then he prepares for it. And then Qaddar Allah, he sleeps through his alarm. And let's say his parents don't wake him up and he isn't able to wake up. This person enters into this hadith. This hadith is about a person who has a ham, al-azm, al-musammim, a firm determination. And then takes a preparation, takes some steps. And then Qaddar Allah isn't able to do that action. So for this person, one good deed is written for him. Then the second person, man hamma biha fa'amilaha. A person who had the firm intention to do the good deed, and then he did do the good deed, Allah doesn't write for him one good reward. Rather, Allah multiplies the reward by 10 immediately. And then multiplies it even further, so it may reach 700 good deeds for that same one action. And then multiplies it even further, that it may be greater than 700 good deeds. The multiplying of the good action by 10 This is for every and any good deed which a person does. So Allah, when He rewards by His kindness. And when He punishes by His justice. Allah, when He rewards, is based upon His kindness and mercy. And when He punishes, then He punishes upon His justice. And on top of this, He still has mercy and He still forgives. So any good action which any person does, automatically it is multiplied by 10. And this is established in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. That whoever comes with any hasana, any good action, he has 10 good deeds for the action. And other ahadith are mentioned, or other ayat are mentioned, which Allah multiplies the good deeds, like the one who gives sadaqah. And Allah mentioned how the giving of the sadaqah in the way of Allah, كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةِ, is like a single seed. Then this seed, it sprouts a plant. And then on each plant are 7 leaves or 7 cobs. And so it is multiplied 700 times. And in a narration of Ibn Umar, when this ayah was revealed, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةِ, that those people who give in the way of Allah is like a habba, like a seed. And then this seed grows into the plant, and then the plant has 7 leaves or 7 forms of produce, and so it is increased. That when this ayah was revealed, the Prophet said, Rabbi zid ummati, O my Lord, increase for my ummah. And then another ayah was revealed, in which Allah said, Man dhalladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana fayudha'if lahu adha'afan kathira. That whoever lends anything for the sake of Allah or in the way of Allah, Allah will multiply even more. So the first ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah is already multiplied 700 times. The ayah before that multiplies by 10. The first ayah is an immediate multiplication by 10 for any good deed. Then the second ayah multiplies it to 700. And then the third ayah, when the Prophet said, Rabbi zid ummati, O Allah, give more for my ummah, then Allah said, فَيُضَاعِفْهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Then Allah multiplies for the person even more, meaning even more than 700 times. And then the Prophet said, Rabbi zid ummati, O Allah, O my Lord, give more for my ummah. And then Allah revealed, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That those people who are patient, the people of sabr, Allah will increase for them بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without a limit, without accountability. So the base is 10 times. And then this is increased to 700. And then Allah increases even more. And then those who are patient upon doing good deeds, Allah increases and increases without any hisab. You can't imagine how much Allah increases. And then the Prophet said that Allah says, فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ, whoever had this resolve and determination to do a bad action, an evil action, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا, but he didn't do that evil action, then it is written for him as if he has done a good deed. One good deed is written for him. With regards to a person not doing this evil action, what is written for him, this depends upon why the person didn't do the evil action. So if he wanted to do the evil action, then he didn't do it for the sake of Allah. He left the evil action for the sake of Allah, then a good deed is written for him. Because in the other narration of Abu Hurairah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِن تَرَكَهَا مِنْ أَجْلِي فَاكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ حَسَنًا. That if he leaves this evil action for my sake, i.e. for the sake of Allah, then write a good deed for him. And this is because, no doubt, a person who wants to do evil and then leaves it for the sake of Allah, out of khawf of Allah, then this is a good action. So a person abandoning a sin out of his khawf of Allah and fearing the punishment of Allah, this in of itself is a good deed. And so the hasana is written for him. As for a person who wanted to do the evil action, But then because of the people he left it. Because of the fear from the people. Or to show off. He didn't do that action. Then some of the Salaf said that he's punished upon this. Why? Because he has given precedence to the khawf from the people over the khawf of Allah. It should have been fear of Allah which prevented him from doing that action. Rather, he wanted to do the action, and the only thing which prevented him was the fear of the people. So giving precedence to the fear of the people over the fear of Allah, this is a sin. And therefore a bad deed is written for him. And Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh, he said, كَانُوا يَقُولُونَ, that they, the Salaf, they used to say, تَرْكُ الْعَمَلْ لِلنَّاسِ رِيَا وَالْعَمَلُ لَهُمْ شِرْكُ, that leaving an action for the sake of the people is riya, showing off. And doing an action for the sake of people is a shirk. And then you have another person who wanted to do the action and was about to do the evil action, and then he only left it because he was unable to do it. Not because of the fear of Allah, nor for the fear of the people. But Qadr Allah, he wasn't able to do that action. Also, a jama'ah from the Salaf said that this person is also punished. Why? Because it wasn't only an intention, but he then took steps and he went towards that action. And the taking of steps and going towards that action, even if he didn't do it, then it is more than a determination. He started doing that action, and therefore he is punished for this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah yatajawazu li ummati amma haddathat bihi anfusaha," that Allah has forgiven for my ummah those thoughts which enter into the mind. مَا لَمْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ, as long as the person doesn't speak about it. أَوْ تَعْمَلَ, or doesn't act upon it. وَمَنْ سَعَى فِي حُصُولِهِ ثُمَّ عَجَزَ عَنْهَا فَقَدْ عَمِلْ, and anybody who takes steps to do that action then wasn't able to do so, then it's as if he has done that action. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned two Muslims, and they are fighting each other with their swords. He said, فَالْقَاتِلْ وَالْمَقْتُولْ فِي النَّارِ, the one who killed and the one who was killed, both of them are in the fire. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand the one who killed, he is in the fire. He killed another Muslim. مَا بَالُ الْمَقْتُولِ, but what is the sin of the one who was killed? Why is he in the fire? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ, because he was determined to also kill the other. He also raised his sword. He also went to the place. Even though he didn't do the action, but he did everything in order for that action to occur. And therefore he's equal in the sin. And then the Prophet said, وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا. So if a person then has a determination to do the evil action, and then does the evil action, then it is written for him only one bad deed. It is not multiplied. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ, whoever comes with an evil, فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا, then Allah will only punish him according to the one bad action which he has done. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ, and they will not be oppressed. However, sometimes a sin, it may be multiplied in terms of its severity, because there are minor sins and major sins. And the punishment for a major sin is not like the punishment for a minor sin. And also there is ma'asiyah and bid'ah. There is sins and then there is an innovation. And the innovation in its punishment is more severe than the sin. And this is why the Salaf used to say, al-bid'atu ahabbu ila al-iblis min al-ma'asiyah, that innovations are more beloved to Iblis than people's sins. And also according to where and when the person did the sin. So a person to commit a sin in the masjid and then do the same sin, let's say in the town center, the sin is more severe in the masjid due to the sanctity of the place. A person, na'udhu billah, to commit zina with the daughter of his next door neighbor, and then to commit zina with another woman, the zina of the woman of the next door is more severe because of the hurma, that she is the neighbor. A person to do a sin in Muharram or Ramadan or Dhul Hijjah is more severe than for a person to do the same sin in another month because of the sanctity of the time. So sometimes the sin, if it is major sin, minor sin, bid'ah or a sin, or the time in which the person did the sin, or the place in which the person did the sin, it can lead to the severity of the action. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He spoke about the sacred months, the four sacred months, He said, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمْ, that there are 12 months in the year which Allah has written in the Quran, and then four of them are hurum. And then later on in the ayah, Allah said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not oppress yourselves in these 4 months. I mean, don't sin in these 4 months. The Salaf, Ibn Abbas, and also those who came after, all of them, the general meaning they said is, إِنَّ الظُّلْمَ فِيهَا حَرَمْ, that oppression, i.e. sins, in all of the months, they are haram. It is haram. It is sinful and it is forbidden. And then they would say, وَجَعَلَ الذَّنْبَ فِيهِنَّ أَعْظَمْ, but then the sin in those 4 months are more severe. وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحْ فِيهِنَّ أَعْظَمْ, and also the righteous deeds in these 4 months are also much greater. Also we said, in terms of where a person is, like the masjid and the hurma of the masjid. And for this reason, some of the sahaba, they were too scared to live in Mecca. They didn't want to live in Mecca. And for this reason, Ibn Abbas, he lived and died in At-Ta'if, even though Mecca is very close, because he was too fearful of doing the sin in Mecca. If the sin occurs, it would rather it be in Ta'if but not in Mecca, because they were fearful of the severity of the sin. And they would say, Ibn Abbas, when he spoke about not living in Mecca, he said, Al-Khati'atu fihi a'zam, because a sin in Mecca is more severe. So I'd rather live and die in At-Ta'if. And Umar radiallahu anhu, it is narrated that he said, لَأَنْ أُخْطِئَ سَبْعِينَ خَطِيئَةً فِي غَيْرِ مَكَّةَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أُخْطِئَ خَطِيئَةً وَاحِدَةً بِمَكَّةَ, that for me to do 70 sins outside of Mecca is more beloved to me than to do one sin inside Mecca. So the summary is that there are 4 types of situations. A person who makes the intention to do a good deed and then he does the good deed. Allah multiplies the reward by 10 and then 700 and then even more. And 10 is the baseline for every single good action. Then the opposite is a person who has the intention to do an evil action and then does the evil action. It is not multiplied. The asal is that only one bad deed is written for him. The third scenario, a person has the intention and the determination to do the good deed, but then he doesn't do the good deed. Allah still writes for him as if he has done the good deed. He gets at least one good reward. And then a person who wanted to do an evil action, but then he left it, if it's for the sake of Allah, then a good deed is written for him. With regards to a person who wanted to do a good action but then didn't do the good action, the asal is that one good deed is written for him. But sometimes this can also be multiplied. So if the person didn't do the good action because of an excuse, something held him back, something out of his control, then it is written for him as if he did do the good action. Whatever the reward of the action is, multiplied by 10, then even more. And there are a number of hadith which prove this. Like the hadith of Jabir and Anas, when the companions were with the Prophet and they had gone to the battle of At-Tabuk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ بِالْمَدِينَةِ لَرِجَالِ, that verily, in Medina, there are a group of men. مَا سِرْتُمْ مَسِيرًا وَلَا قَطَعْتُمْ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كَانُوا مَعَكُمْ, and any path which you took and any valley which you went through, these men, they were with you. They stayed back in Medina. They didn't do the jihad. They didn't come out with you. But anything which you did, then they have a share of your reward. In fact, in one of the narrations, إِلَّا شَرَكُوكُمْ فِي الْأَجْرِ, except that they have a share of your reward. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حَبَسَهُمْ الْمَرَضِ, that they were held back due to an illness, or al-udhr, or they were held back due to an excuse, or somebody who, when he was healthy, he used to do a good deed. Regularly, he used to do the good deed, and then he became ill. It is still written for him as if he is doing the good deed. Somebody who was young, and he used to do a good action, and then he became old, and he wasn't able to do the action. It is written for him as if he's doing the action even in his old age. Somebody who was, when he was rich, he would give something in the way of Allah, and then he became poor. It is still written for him as if he's donating for the sake of Allah. And this is a great encouragement for us, ma'ashal ikhwa, to obey Allah and to do good actions whilst we are able to do so. Because when Allah writes for us that we're not able to do so, the reward will still be written for us. So if you're young and you have the time, then do the good actions. And if you're rich and you have money, give in the way of Allah. Because there will come a time in which you're not young anymore. And there will come a time in which you don't have free time anymore. And there will come a time in which you don't have money anymore. But the good deeds will still be written. We finish with one benefit, and that is when it comes to the multiplication of the good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned, the asal is that any good deed which a person does, it is multiplied tenfold. And then it is multiplied even further. The increase in the multiplication of the reward is based on various factors. So one factor is the time. As we mentioned, if a person does a good deed in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, that same good deed which a person might do outside of Dhul Hijjah, inside of Dhul Hijjah, it is increased much, manifold. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ, that there is no day in which a good deed is more beloved to Allah than these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So that time, it multiplies the good deeds. Also Laylatul Qadr, as you know, Allah said Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr, that the night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Meaning, a person who gives £1 or reads one page or prays 2 raka'at on Laylatul Qadr is equal to 1,000 months of the same action because of Laylatul Qadr, and also Ramadan and other days like this. So that's the first factor, the time in which a person does the good deed. Secondly, the place in which a person does the good deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salatun fi masjidi hadha afdalu min alfi salatin fi ma sawah, that a single salah in my masjid, ayyal masjid nabawi, is equal to 1,000 salawat in any other masjid, illa masjid al-haram, which is then multiplied 100,000 times. And also Masjid al-Aqsa. So also the place in which you do a good deed can multiply your action. Like Makkah we said, and the Haram of Al-Madinah, it is also increased. Also the action itself. The action itself is a factor in the multiplication. So for example, the fard actions are more beloved to Allah than the nafl actions. So even though it is two raka'ah, but the 2 raka'ah of Fajr carries a greater reward than the 2 raka'ah of Tahiyatul Masjid because of the action itself. And then it can be multiplied due to the person, the one who did the action. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding his companions, that if one of you, normal people, if you were to give Mount Uhud in gold, it isn't equal to even a handful of what the Sahaba gave. And then he said, وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ, not even half of that which they have given in terms of a handful. So the person, i.e. the Sahabi, because of the fadl of the Sahabi, the deeds are multiplied. Also, the situation in which the person is. So a person who is oppressed, or a person who is traveling, or a person who is in a fitna, in a difficulty, the action, the good deed which he does, it is increased. And sometimes a person may be in a situation of ease and he gets more reward than a person who is in a situation of difficulty. Sometimes the opposite. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, al-ibadatu fil haraj ka hijratin ilayya. That ibadah in a time of violence and confusion is like the reward of making hijrah to me. Because when fitna comes, people occupy themselves with going to the streets and causing trouble and demonstrating and rebellions and causing chaos. The mu'min worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, for example, making dua to Allah in times of ease is more rewarding than making dua to Allah in times of difficulty. Why? Because in times of difficulty, everybody makes dua to Allah. But in times of ease, people forget Allah, like the mushrikun used to do. So those who remember Allah in the times of ease, when they are being blessed, have a greater reward than those who only remember Allah in times of difficulty. And also, the actions of a person may be increased according to that which is in the heart of a person. Ikhlas and khushu' and ihsan, and why you're doing the action. So for example, you have three people. One person, he does the good deed because he loves Allah and he wants to become close to Allah and he desires the reward which is with Allah. You have another person who does the same action just because he wants to fulfill the wajib. He just wants to tick the box that I've done the wajib. Khalas. Allah isn't going to punish me. And then you have a third person who does a good deed but for the sake of the dunya. Not a shirk and riya, but for a worldly benefit. For example, a person leads the prayer. One of them leads the prayer because it's his job. It's in his contract and he gets a wage for it. So it isn't shirk. It's still for the sake of Allah. But he's doing it because contractually he's obliged to lead the prayer. Another person leads the salah because it's wajib and he doesn't want to be punished. A third person leads the salah because he wants to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to please his Lord. He wants to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's worshipping Allah, ibadat talab wa shawq, out of his desire and love for Allah subhanahu. This person is greater in reward than the others. And this is a great encouragement for us, my brothers, that when we worship Allah, we think, why are we worshipping Allah? Are we doing it just for the sake of the dunya? Are we doing it just to tick, khalas, I've done the wajib, and I won't be punished? Or are we doing it because we love Allah, and we desire the reward which is with Allah, and we're trying to fulfill and implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? May Allah subhanahu give us at-tawfiq and al-hidayah. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.